Mini episode 968 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 968. I'm FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris, here with our preview of Billions episode 3.2. Here's our top five developments coming out of the season three premiere. Number five, it took an extra year to happen, but the show is now being set in Trump's America in this parallel universe. So maybe what we're seeing right now happened in 2017, or maybe that'll just cause a headache if you think too much about it. Comic relief hedge fund bro Todd Krakow is now the Treasury Secretary in a development that causes Axe to hilariously say that the thought of his signature on currency might actually make him like it less. But far more importantly, new Attorney General Waylon Jeffcoat, a good old boy who is portrayed as a version of Jeff Sessions, who would actually have the balls to stand up to the president, is Chuck's new boss. Chuck will be allowed to keep his job if he assents to the new administration's demands to slow down on Wall Street prosecutions. Given that the show did not address the change in administrations in Season 2, this is something of an unforeseen curveball coming into this campaign, one that will carry a lot of implications. Number 4, our preseason prediction about Chuck learning the lesson that no man is an island proved mostly true already. Wendy didn't hold his trickery of Axe against him, and the powerful Black Jack Foley still backs him for governor, but some of the closest people to him previously wouldn't piss on him if he were on fire. His father openly tried to get Foley to dump him, and his former best friend Ira told him that he'd never speak to him again, consequences of how he spent their fortunes and his in the takedown of Axe. And now Brian's asking questions about his hidden role in the prosecution of Bobby, and the season preview teaser that Showtime aired unsurprisingly reveals that he figures out the whole truth. He's been uneasy with the way that Chuck plays fast and loose in pursuit of Axe since at least late season one, and now he's in a position to do his old boss a lot of harm if he wants to. Oh, and now Chuck owes a big favor to Dake, who will be thrilled if he can finally puncture the balloon of his smug older counterpart. One of the most self-destructive aspects of Chuck's character is his inability to ever be truly apologetic, either with his father at the end of Season 2 or with Ira in his half-assed reaching out in the Season 3 premiere. He says what he thinks he has to appease a person in the moment, and that notion is very transparent. In the end, since he is so incapable of commanding personal loyalty, it may well be his undoing. Number 3, the oddest odd couple in Wall Street history, Taylor and Wags, took another step in cementing what will be a very colorful partnership. Early in the season premiere, Taylor took a step back in terms of earning respect from Wags and Dollar Bill when disappointment over the frozen assets caused a lot of lashing out. But when Wags took his boss's prized protege to the Turkish bath, got the pledge of loyalty that he sought, and acted gallant in the face of insults to his firm's resident genius, the bond was ultimately strengthened. Each brings a skill set that the other knows is much needed in these crisis times at Axe Capital. Taylor with the superhuman brains and instincts, and Wags with the next-level strategic cunning. It still seems likely that Wags' fondness for completely amoral tactics may alienate his younger counterpart, although it could also mark a turning point in Taylor being corrupted by the upper levels of Wall Street. Either way, these two are involved in potentially the most captivating partnership of Season 3, and their joint rule over Axe Capital is going to be quite memorable. Number 2. The dynamic of Season 2 has been turned on its head, as Chuck and Wendy are back together, while Bobby and Laura ended up splitting up off-camera between Seasons 2 and 3. In Chuck and Wendy's much-anticipated return to their S&M therapy, Chuck disclosed his knowledge of Wendy getting a little something-something during their estrangement, although Wendy could be forgiven for being a bit unclear on whether Chuck had literal knowledge of it or was just acting out a scenario. For those who hold up the kinky stuff as an example of how Showtime makes the series a little too over the top, it's worth noting in all seriousness that some of the finest character work of the entire series came when Chuck was begging Wendy for details as she was whipping him. He admitted that hearing these stories was excruciating, which could tie into his submissive fetish, or to guilt on his part right after having his best friend banish him for betrayal. Or maybe it was a little of both, but either way, it was an incredible moment of insight into his psyche, and it indicated that there will be consequences in the Rhodes marriage for Wendy's fling at some point. As for Bobby and Laura, sweethearts who've been together forever, the disillusionment that we saw from the misses in the season 2 finale when Bobby used her to throw off the feds just so that he could roam free a little longer foreshadowed her decision to leave him. At the end of the day, much like how Wendy tired of Chuck's obsession of a personal grudge at the expense of everything else, so too did Laura find Bobby's risking of their entire fortune on that same grudge to be too much to forgive. Also, she wasn't happy about Bobby rehiring Wendy, sensing, accurately as Chuck does, that the closeness between the two, while never consummated, is unseemly for people married to others. And this doesn't look like a mere trial separation either, as Laura's alliance with Stephen Birch doesn't look entirely professional in nature, and Bobby was seen cavorting with another woman for the first time ever on the show. For both Chuck and X, their marriages, when functioning well, have been a font of stability in their lives. In a season that should be full of unsettling developments for both, it's likely that their respective marriages will contribute to unsettling feelings for both men. Number 1. Axe and Chuck are going to have to live with limits this season, which neither has ever successfully done. The new Attorney General did not shut down the Bobby Axelrod prosecution, so his directive to Chuck to ease up on white-collar cases didn't hit the U.S. Attorney where he truly lived. But Chuck can't abide limits, so he's already put a bug in Kate Sacker's ear about defying their new boss, a decision that would be incredibly self-destructive of him given what his priorities in life are at the moment. Bobby's limitation comes from his acquiescence to the government's ultimatum: give up the power to trade until and unless he is acquitted in order to free up his personal and professional assets. Taylor's smash success at the idea dinner demonstrated that he can be replaced successfully, at least for the time being, but one wonders what would eat at X more: being unable to jump in and save Taylor if the saving proved necessary, or feeling marginalized within his own empire by Taylor appearing to make him replaceable. One way or another, Bobby's going to get back in the game and try to get away with it. At the end of the day, the blood rivals, Chuck and Bobby, just can't restrain themselves from their basest instincts. In terms of trying to guess how the war gets resolved at the end of the series, it seems increasingly clear that it may end with neither man standing, and both of them done in by their own self-destructiveness. Perhaps they would commiserate together, but probably not. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.